This is Marty Goldenson. This is Marty Goldenson sitting in for Brian Lehrer. With more than 15 million homes financially underwater or facing foreclosure nationwide, on Friday, the Obama administration announced a new branch of the Home Affordable Modification Program, known as HAMP. Heavy criticism has been leveled at the original HAMP. These relief efforts were supposed to modify loans so that they were affordable for homeowners whose homes had lost value. It's easy to see where the criticism comes from. Only 168,000 loans have been permanently modified, while more than 1.3 million homeowners are bogged down in a year of frustration and red tape. The new plan will focus on individuals who are currently unemployed, hopefully floating them until they can get a job again or find some other method of paying their mortgages. Joining us on the line here to explain the complex world of home financing is Matt Heimer, the deputy editor of Smart Money. Matt, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Marty. Glad to be here.
And we'll hear a little later from a local banker in New Jersey who's been having lots of success, maybe more than the HAMP program, at keeping people in their homes. To begin, Matt, to understand what is new with the current Obama program, we really need to understand what's old. And I'm not sure I understand what's old. So tell me, what's in the original plan that Obama put forward, and why hasn't it been working?
Well, the original plan was essentially trying to nudge bankers and banks into modifying loans for people who had fallen down, sort of fallen behind on their mortgage payments, whether because of unemployment or because of some kind of other economic hardship. But it left things a little bit vague and fuzzy and undefined. Neither the old plan nor the new plan essentially put the force of law behind home modifications, and neither plan says to bankers, you must act on behalf of these homeowners. It was mostly just a sort of a little bit of regulatory encouragement. What the new plan tries to do better is to lay out a sort of more specific set of guidelines, essentially, by which these modifications would happen. And maybe more importantly, it throws the weight of the Treasury Department, essentially, through the Federal Housing Administration, a little more heavily behind these potential new loans. And it says to banks, if you extend yourselves to help out homeowners who are in trouble, we will backstop those loans. If those homeowners wind up going bust eventually, the federal government will essentially step in and make the lenders whole.
Ah, they make the lenders whole. In the original HAMP program, the money goes to banks to incentivize them to change the terms of the mortgages. Is that right?
That's correct, and that's essentially true of the new program as well. It's not a matter of really funneling funds to the homeowner, to the homeowners themselves.
Right, they're against this subsidy idea of going directly to the homeowner, right?
That's correct.
So this isn't necessarily, I assume that's, by the way, some kind of fear of a political backlash, or, you know, why don't they do that?
Well, it's a sort of, if I may say, damned if they do, damned if they don't situation.
Mm-hmm.
Either move inspires a backlash, although for similar reasons. There's a lot of resentment among people who have been able to keep up with their home payments in the sense that they feel that they're maybe being punished for having followed the rules, or they're being sort of left out of mm-hmm. the bailout. And, you know, if you go onto any sort of comment section of any major online article about the loan modification
right.
program, the dissent is pretty heavy. Subsidizing the homeowners themselves seem to be one kind of what economists call moral hazard, you know, essentially, you know, encouraging people to take risks and encouraging people to buy homes they can't afford by bailing them out if something goes wrong. But you can argue, and many people do, that subsidizing the banks when that happens essentially just creates the same moral hazard program from sort of the other side of the
right.
Of the
it's more disguised, harder to notice.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
true.
Yeah. Let me break in for just a second
sure.
here. I have a raft of questions for you, but I want to bring in our listeners. We have time for a few calls now with your questions for Matt Heimer about the new home owner assistance programs. I want to hear from you people out there who've been having trouble with your mortgage. And you can talk directly to Matt. Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. You can also post a comment at WNYC.org and click on the Brian Lehrer Show there, and it'll come up and I'll see it. So while people are dialing, Matt, what does the HAMP revamp that came out on Friday provide for? Who exactly does it help? I'm thinking in terms of, you know, if you have a job, if you don't have a job, do you have to be unemployed?
You don't have to be unemployed. And in fact, HAMP 2, revamped HAMP, really extends itself more broadly than any previous program did to address homeowners who maybe are not necessarily suffering economic hardship, but who do have mortgages that are underwater. In other words, mortgages where they essentially owe much more than the home is now currently worth.
How does it help them?
Well, it basically helps them by creating situations where it can encourage the either the bank or the other investor who holds those homeowners' mortgages to do what's called a write-down, where they essentially lower the principal amount on the loan. So say, for example, you bought a condo for $500,000 three or four years ago, and now it's, according to an appraisal, worth only $400,000. Chances are, if you're in that situation, you still owe more on your mortgage than you could get if you went out and sold the home right now. If revamped HAMP works, basically they'll be able to, in some situations, the federal government will give lenders an incentive to lower the principal amount on that mortgage.
Now, what does it mean, an incentive? Is it that they're just going to back the loan if it fails, or are they going to actually give them some money?
Well, essentially, they're going to agree to back the loan if it fails. They will say if the borrower can't make good on this new obligation, you know, we will step in and make sure that it's not a total loss for the bank.
Right. Now, let me back up there. Now,
sure.
For people who are unemployed, right, there's some system where it helps you for 6 months while you're trying to find a job. Explain that.
That's right. In order to get aid from this phase of the revamped HAMP, you essentially have to demonstrate that you're collecting unemployment insurance. And, of course, in order to collect unemployment insurance, you generally have to be testifying that you're not just unemployed but looking for work. You basically have to be able to show that as a result of your unemployment, your monthly payment on your home is greater than 31% of your household income. And if those things are the case, then the federal government will kind of step in, renegotiate the loan with the bank, and lower your monthly payment to 31% of your income. The idea being that way you'll be able to continue to afford staying in your home even on this much, even on your much reduced income. If, for example, you're only collecting unemployment and have no other income coming in.
You know, earlier you mentioned about the sort of political pressure from people who don't want their tax money used to help the neighbor out who's put in four extra rooms that he couldn't really afford, or bought a bigger house than he could afford.
Mm-hmm.
How does this adjusted legislation differentiate between people who are slammed by the economy and people who are simply greedy about the kind of home they could afford?
Well, when it comes to, if you think of revamped HAMP in sort of two branches, branch one is for the truly unemployed, and branch two is for people who might fall into that second category, there's a limit to how far the new program will go in terms of allowing the bank to write down the amount of your home. So, for example, the maximum amount that they will do on a write-down right now comes out to roughly 20% of the balance on the loan. And by the balance, I mean the principal. For people who really kind of overextended themselves with second mortgages, cash-out refinancing, maybe doing a lot of renovation that, as you say, they couldn't afford, even getting the maximum amount of help that this program offers probably will not bail them out of trouble. In other words, if you've really overextended yourself and gotten into a home that just can't possibly afford, even by the greatest stretch of the imagination, there's essentially, or from my take on it anyway, and the take of some other analysts of the finances, you just can't get enough money back through this program to be able to bail you out. They put a sort of a ceiling on their generosity, essentially.
Right. We're talking to Matt Heimer, who's the deputy editor of Smart Money, about last week's change in the Home Affordable Modification Program, HAMP. I think Trenda in Jersey City wants to chime in. She knows about this problem of being underwater. Trenda.
Hi. My basic comment was, if there's no force of law behind the new Obama program, which is actually going to do more than simply encourage the banks to work with homeowners, that they're simply not going to. I'm not underwater myself. I'm a financial planner, tax preparer. I have six clients, all of which could be able to stay in their homes and keep their mortgages, their mortgage payments current if they simply had been lowered. And all we're really in reality talking about is lowering the amount of interest that they're going to pay on those home purchases. Where is it written that people have to earn two and three times the original cost of the asset in interest payments? And if the banks were willing to do this, especially the big ones, Chase, Bank of America, months and months and months of red tape and not helping anyone, I think that would do a lot to help solve this problem.
Matt?
Trenda, I think you're definitely onto something, and I think you're referring to a lot of people who, whether through a bad choice at the outset or through maybe something kind of misleading coming from the banks, have wound up locking themselves into mortgages that had very unreasonable terms as the loan got older, as the rate adjusted higher. The one bit of silver lining in that cloud is that at least according to some work that some Wall Street Journal reporters have done recently, it appears to be the case that a lot of banks have wound up deciding to not increase interest payments as much as they could under the terms of the loan. And here's why, and this gets back to your original question. The force of law is not behind this modification program, but from the point of view of the bank, having a homeowner default and essentially having the home going into foreclosure is, in the short run at least, a much more expensive process for the bank than trying to work something out and trying to come up with some kind of modification that keep the homeowner in the home and keep the payments flowing.
Yeah, I would think also, Matt, especially in this economy, where that property that the bank inherits is not terribly sellable.
That's correct. The very fact of its foreclosure essentially drives down its value on the market and also drives down the value of other homes.
You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC Radio. I'm Marty Goldenson in for Brian. I'm going to add a person to this conversation. Stay with us, Matt. Joining us now to give a local look and really a private look on how to deal with the mortgage crisis is Tom Shara, who happens to be president and CEO of Lakeland Bank in Oak Ridge, New Jersey. Tom, welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Marty. How are you?
Good, good. Except drenched. Tom, tell us what Lakeland Bank has been dealing with, how they've been dealing with these underwater mortgages and how that's been, different or preempted what the feds have done.
Yeah, sure. Just to put it in perspective for your listeners, at Lakeland Bank today we have about 2,000 residential mortgages in our portfolio, and right now there are only 18 of those that are in default. As a community bank, we are portfolio lenders, which means that we keep the mortgage on our books. We don't sell them off into the secondary market, and we have a vested interest in that mortgage from the very beginning. And I think the key to all of this is good underwriting on the front end, where we qualify our borrowers for both today and 5 years from now. Community banks like Lakeland never made subprime mortgages. We don't have
interest-only loans.
So
Tom, I'm proud of you, but we can't let this be an advertisement for Lakeland Bank.
Sure.
You must tell us, how do you help the people who are going under?
I think the key is you need to intervene very early. And if you can help somebody when they're 30 days past due, you can do a lot more for them when they're 90 or 120 days past due. So we work with our borrowers very, very early on in the process to try and help them get back on their feet. Our number one priority is to keep the homeowner in their home.
Yes. And obviously, you, unlike some of the larger banks, tend to know these people?
Yeah, they're our customers. So they have more than just a mortgage loan with us. They tend to bank with us. And like I said, we portfolio the loans. We keep them, and we service them ourselves. And that's an important distinction when you have a servicer involved. It's not always easy to find out who owns your loan and who's the decision maker. And with community banks, you know who the decision maker is.
Are you getting incentives from the federal program and just spending them differently? Or?
We have not used the programs because, as I said earlier, we don't have very many. And the ones that we do, we tend to deal with ourselves.
So Friday's change isn't going to change things for you at all?
To the extent that we can help borrowers with this program, absolutely, we would take advantage of it.
Right. You would argue in general that small banks are more able to deal with these underwater loans than large-scale organizations?
Yeah, I do think that's certainly been our experience. Again, when we can intervene early, we will do that.
Right.
And help people get through.
Now, when you say help people get through and intervene early, obviously you catch a person before they owe a huge amount of money, and you see the signs early. But how do you, in fact, help them? Do you give them breaks? Have you ever lowered the monthly payment or even, you know, brought down the principal?
Sure, we've done both of those. In certain circumstances, we've lowered the principal balance, and in many cases, we've put them on interest only or modified their interest rate. A lot of this is driven by, you know, unemployment rate, which has been high in our markets, and until people can get back employed again, we work with them so that they can have affordable payments.
Matt Heimer, why can't a big bank do that?
Well, Tom raises an interesting point. One reason that so few loan modifications have happened so far is that many of the original lenders, including some of the big banks, have essentially repackaged those mortgages as investments and sold them to other investors. In some cases, multiple investors can own pieces of a single mortgage. And in order to do a modification that lowers the principal and essentially lowers the homeowner's payment, you have to get the approval of whoever owns that loan, and sometimes just tracking down that person becomes, a kind of Sisyphean bureaucratic task. And that's one reason why HAMP 1 has moved so slowly, you know, only giving relief to, I think, fewer than 3% of the people who are currently behind on their mortgages.
Now that we have two experts on the line here, I'd like to bring in Elizabeth from Queens with a question.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I actually work pro bono services helping homeowners that are being foreclosed on. And, I mean, basically I've seen just a lot of the failure of the HAMP program. And even with this revamp HAMP, I still wonder if it's going to work. And my question really is that why hasn't the Obama administration made greater efforts to try to allow the bankruptcy courts to have jurisdiction over renegotiating mortgages? Because my understanding is right now, bankruptcy courts are not allowed to take into consideration mortgages for first homes.
Well, actually, Elizabeth, that's a really good question. And that's in order to do that, essentially, that would require a rewriting of the bankruptcy code. And unlike some of the things in HAMP, which the Obama administration can do unilaterally, you can't change the bankruptcy code without essentially approval of Congress, and especially in the Senate. This is something that Obama actually campaigned sent signals during his campaign that it was something he wanted to do, was to give bankruptcy courts this power, but basically in the Senate, they could not get, I think, even 50 votes for that. I mean, it says a lot about how much the Senate is sort of willing to defend the prerogatives of the banking industry to kind of make its own contracts and not have what bankers call a cram down forced on them. So ultimately, that kind of died in the Senate, I guess, in the middle of 2009. And no one has really spoken seriously about reviving it again, even as part of the current financial regulatory bill.
Elizabeth from Queens, mm-hmm. I have a question for you, which is,
yes.
Have you found that part of the problem is that the sort of red tape is so long that by the time you can get any federal help for somebody, they've drowned?
Well, basically, I mean, most of the mortgages now have to be done through a court. Most of the foreclosures have to be
sure.
done through a court. But you definitely see a lot of the red tape. Under the current HAMP, it's pretty easy. Not pretty easy. I mean, it's still difficult. It takes, even though you're only supposed to take 3 months to give somebody a temporary modification, we're finding it's taking like 6-7 months, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that nobody knows who owns the actual mortgage.
Right, let me break it. Yeah, I'm sorry. And nobody knows?
nobody, I mean, like, the servicers don't usually, I mean, I think your other guest was talking about how the mortgage is, like, the foreclosure is not done by the actual bank. It's done by a third-party servicer that basically benefits from actually foreclosing. And my understanding is HAMP is supposed to change that, but I'm not
really seeing that. The new HAMP is supposed to do that. Tom Shara, who's the president and CEO of Lakeland Bank, is still on the line. Tom, how long does it take for you to help somebody?
Well, it takes us literally days because we do all of the work in-house, and we can draw our own modifications with our own internal staff. So it doesn't take us very long to get people the help that they need.
Tom, thanks very much for joining us and explaining what looks like a strong argument for solving the problem locally. Turning back to Matt, is the new HAMP going to make it possible to grease the skids and make less red tape, so we can, you know, help people before they've drowned?
Well, I'm not sure. It's going to take a while to even get the program up and running. I mean, preliminarily, the signals that the administration are sending is that it's going to be maybe 2 months before they can even take applications on the new HAMP. They're eager to get it running as fast as possible, in part because they're worried that when the tax credit for new home purchases expires, which is at the end of April, you're going to see another dive in housing property values. I think that, and Tom may see it otherwise, but I think that the greater willingness of the Federal Housing Administration to put money behind the new loans may speed the process a little bit more, because that guarantee was not as explicit before as it seems to me that it is now. But I still think the problem of hunting down the investor who holds the mortgage is going to remain something that slows things down. And I think that it's not going to be a fast solution for most homeowners.
Another question for you from Farjad in Huntington. Farjad.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
A pleasure.
My question kind of gets at what everyone was talking about earlier about finding different investors that hold your mortgage. I know that with the original HAMP, when I tried to get my loan modified, I was told that I had a mortgage with HSBC, so they said that program wouldn't be able to help me because it would only apply to mortgages held by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, and that's usually if you had it with, you know, Citibank or Bank of America, one of the bailed out banks. So with the new HAMP be able to help people whose mortgages aren't held by those American institutions?
And this answer has to be in about 30 seconds.
My understanding is yes, but Tom might know more on that front.
But I think we let him go.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. My understanding is that it does cast a slightly wider net. But to make sure, I would recommend that there's a website that is called makinghomeaffordable.gov. That's the website where the administration is laying out the details of this plan, and there's a lot of very voluminous material there about who qualifies for what. So that might be a good place to start research.
Matt Heimer, thanks so much for joining us. Matt Heimer is the deputy editor of Smart Money. Thanks to everybody who called in. We have to leave it there. This is Marty Goldenson filling in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC Radio. Next, checking in with Haiti as the spring rains roll in.